It's incredible. I was standing in the back and just looking across this auditorium nearly filled with people. It is so encouraging to see you here. I hope that you feel like family and you feel encouraged. And if you're visiting with us, thank you for being a part of our Bible study, of our remembrance of Jesus Christ. I only thought it was good back there, and then I came up here and heard everyone singing, and I'm certain that God is pleased. He must be pleased. This is what He has asked us to do. We are following in His leadership, and I hope that you feel like you're a part of something that matters. I want to begin with a couple of questions about the Bible. Not too complicated, but it will get you started and headed in the right direction. So let me begin with this. Here is a very simple quote. Who said that? Any ideas? Anybody here know who said, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also"? Well, if you said Jesus, you are, well, you're right. Of course you're right. But here's what's interesting. I was going to Google image this background for the slide set today. And so I put in, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And I clicked on large images and all this. And all of the quotes that were attributed to people fell into two categories. Half of the slide said anonymous. Like, I don't know who said this. And the other half were J.K. Rowling, who wrote the Harry Potter books. Because apparently this got quoted in one of the books or movies or something. That is a very sad testament of the world in which we live. Now, there were still a lot of images that attributed it to the scripture, but none that said, quote, by Jesus Christ. It was unknown or otherwise. But we know better. We know that this comes from the mind of God and the words of Jesus. And so open your Bibles there to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21. What you're going to find here in this read that you know so well is a correlation. And this is what you have to see this morning for our study to work in your life throughout this week. There is a natural and obvious correlation between what is in your heart, how you feel, what you love and what you believe, and the actual pursuits and treasures in your life. These cannot be separated, and if they are separated, they cannot be separated for long. They will always work together. What you desire inside will come to life by the pursuits, and the pursuits will tell you more about what's on the inside. We're going to be looking at the relationship between what you love and what you're out there doing all morning long, but if it's okay, in addition to the language of the text, I just want to give you a couple of other terms to be considering today that I would consider to be synonymous with these. So for instance, under heart, I want you to be thinking also about that term. To me, they're the same thing. If I ask you, what are your core values? Who do you love the most? What do you love the most? What is your purpose in life? What gives your life value? I'm asking you, what's in your heart? Same question. On the other side of the equation, we will talk about treasures, but I also want to make it very tangible and real. Your personal goals, the stuff you wrote down as your big resolutions for 2020, the things you're striving for, the things you think about and are trying to get to and you're reading about, those are your treasures. It's the same idea. That which I am yearning for represents my treasure. Now read with me in Matthew chapter 6. Let's just do verses 19 through 21 to get started. "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, we'll talk about the nature of your treasures in a minute. He said, be careful trying to live a life that says, my heart is all about the spiritual, but my real life is all about the physical. He said, that's not a very proper way to live your Christian life. But here are some things we can note very easily from this text. These are simple for us, but I need you to acknowledge them in your own life. First of all, this produces this. Do you agree with that? I need some nods today. I need someone to say that whatever's going on inside of me, whatever I love and yearn for, that will naturally become visible and it's measurable by the things that I am pursuing. And while that is true, you can also work the math backwards and just change the wording a little bit. If what's in my heart is produced by my goals, then my goals are telling you what's in my heart. Hey, people don't like that second one, by the way. If you go to someone and say, look, you know, the things you're pursuing in your life and what seems to be important to you and the way you're setting your priorities and things you talk about all the time, you know, none of that has to do with God at all. You may have a heart problem. Who would get offended? Everyone would get offended. You don't have a right to tell me that. You don't have a right to tell me, this is what they're saying, that there's a correlation between the things that I'm striving for in my life and what I'm really about in my heart. You don't have a right to tell me that. What Jesus is saying is, not only do we have the right to say that, it is an inevitable truth. Now, I want to begin challenging you already, because you're going to have to start thinking today, what are my core values? And I'll be asking you to list them when you go home today. And what are the things that I am pursuing, and how do they connect? Because I'll add this. I was thinking about this. We have a little bit of formatting there, but you can still read it. I'll add this. Deviation is possible, but it's hard to maintain. I've been thinking a lot about that. Is it possible that there's someone in the room today whose core values are truly spiritual? You just want to serve God, and you want to get to heaven, and you want to encourage God's people, and you want to lay up treasures for what is coming later, and that's what you're all about. Yet, everything you've got planned in 2020 is not that. You've got job advancement planned in 2020. You've got all kinds of health goals. You have a lot of physical stuff going on, and the two don't match up. Is it possible that that can happen? I think the answer is yes, but not for long. It's unnatural. Naturally, you want to do the things that you care. Isn't that, that's just magic, basically. That's just pure magic. You want those things to come together. I was listening to this valedictorian speech from last year. Did you guys hear this guy's speech from last year? This valedictorian has been going around this year as well in January. He gave this speech about how all he wanted to be was the valedictorian of his school. And so he devoted nearly every waking moment to that. He studied incredibly. He advanced through all of the extra credit work. It was everything to him. His treasure was, I want to win the award and be number one in my class. And he got it. There was a whole award ceremony and everything. He said, when they called my name, I had these chills come over me. And for 15 seconds, I felt like I was on top of the world. He said, and then came the 16th second. I sat down and I felt nothing. It was supposed to be this life-changing, transcending moment of the ultimate climax of human existence. And all I could think about were the important things I sacrificed in order to get it. He went on to say in that speech, he said, I'm glad I learned that at age 18. That if you go out and you pursue these treasures and these things that you think are the ultimate end, but you have to sacrifice your friendships, your relationship with people that you love in order to get them. And so your heart's in one place and your actions are in another. He said, ultimately, it won't pay off for you. In fact, I would say this, if you're setting goals that are inconsistent with your core values, one of two things will happen. One, you will lose interest in those goals because you don't have a passion for them in the core of your being. You're doing it because it's what your culture, this culture says you should do, or because it's what your family's telling you that you have to do. But if it's not consistent with who you are, it'll lose steam. And maybe worse even than that is like our valedictorian friend, where you actually get the brass ring and you're like, it's just brass. And it doesn't actually pay off. One of the things I want you to see is that your heart and your mind and your body were built by God to be in connection with one another. So here's some observations we can make from the text that Jesus made. First of all, Jesus said, here's what you need to do. Don't try that deviation business. And if you're living a life like that, and by the way, if you find that your goals aren't all that fulfilling, and you feel like you might be wasting your time, it's probably because you are wasting your time. And you need to hear what Jesus has to say. He says, here's what you need to do. You need to have a heart for God. And then you need to set goals that honor that heart for God. Does that make sense to everybody in the room? You need to determine if you have a heart for God and then set benchmarks that move in that direction. Let me go back with you. Stay in Matthew 5. Let me read verses 3 through 10. We commonly call this the Beatitudes. What I'm about to read for you in Matthew 5, 3 through 10, This is the core value system of a disciple of Jesus Christ. These are the kinds of things going on the inside. This is how I feel about my life. This is the kind of life I want to live. This is what I'm here to do. So let's read it together. Verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit. Verse 4, blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the gentle. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He said, that's the heart of my people right there. The heart of my people are, they're humble on the inside. They're hungry for truth. They're willing to make sacrifices. That's what's going on the inside of my people. So when he gets over to chapter 6 in verse 19, he says, be consistent. If that's really who you are, then it ought to be a lot more than just lip service. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. If we ask everyone in the room to just tell us, vocally tell us, what are your core values? What would we all say? Well, God and the church and faith and evangelism. Great. You know, perfect answers. Jesus said, lip service doesn't go very far. Now what you have to do, if you've decided I'm going to be this merciful, peacemaking, gentle, humble, sacrificial person, then what you're not going to want to do, verse 19, is go out and store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. That would be kind of ridiculous. I'm about love and faith and growth and sacrifice, but what do I have planned for 2020? Make more money and buy more things and do more things and get more influence in the community and be more respected. Wait a minute. There's a total breakdown between who you said you were and what you're really out there proving yourself to be. And so Jesus said, here's what we need to do. We need to make sure that they align, and I'll be challenging you to do that on your own when you leave here today. Here's a second observation in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, look, if the heart is not what it ought to be, it will, I would put it this way, eventually everybody gets to know it. We're fond of saying, you can't read my heart. You don't know what's going on the inside. God's the one who judges. None of that stuff is ultimately true in terms of real life because our goals tell the story. Go with me to chapter 7. You're going to need to be in chapter 7 for a little while. Look at the false prophets of verse 15. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. What are those prophets telling you about their core values? Hey, false prophet, who I don't know is a false prophet. What are your core values? Oh, Jesus. It's Jesus. It's this church. It's being forgiving and kind and spiritual. It's Bible reading. That's what they're going. Of course, they're going to say that. But inwardly, they're not so much. So you will know them by what? Their fruits. I could add another word over here to the right. We could say our treasures, the stuff we're really thinking about right now and planning for, our personal goals, or we could replace that with our fruits. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, at least not for long, you know. Nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear the good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. Ultimately, it is revealed. What you're reading right there in verses 15 through 20 is the exact point he's making in chapter 6, verse 21. The exact point is if you want to know what kind of a person we're dealing with, you can ask them what matters to them. You probably should. But their answer is just words. The question is, what are your goals for 2020? What are you praying about? What are you pursuing? What are you putting into place? What would a successful year look like for you? Christians sometimes say, well, I just want to hang in there, you know, and try to stay healthy. Okay. But what does that prove about who you really are when God's people are supposed to be growing and learning and serving and evangelizing? Let me give you a case study today. I thought we'd choose a case study that we could all agree with and follow along with. So let me talk to you a little bit about this guy. Let's ask about Jesus a little bit. Do you think that in Jesus' ministry,
the 3 years that we know about his life here and his work, do you think Jesus vocalized his core values? He did. I can take you to exact passages. In fact, go ahead and open up your Bible to John 4. I can take you to exact passages where Jesus said, this is what I am all about. This is who I am. This is who I love. This is my purpose. My life doesn't even exist here without these things. And I can actually list them in sequential order. That's what you're going to be asked to do as well. Not just some random list of values, but what matters. I can tell you with great confidence, that the number one core value in Jesus' life was honoring the will of his Father. He told us that rather explicitly in multiple occasions. Look in John chapter 4, please. In John 4, in verse 34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. He's saying the most natural thing in my life, like eating, the most natural thing about who I am is to do God's will. Look in chapter 6, a couple of chapters later. In chapter 6 in verse 38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. I don't think we're going out on a very thin limb to say Jesus' number one core value was doing what his Father said. But that wasn't all. I think I can fill out this list with three things. Secondly, Jesus said over and over again, I am first here to do my Father's will. Nothing will ever be allowed to compromise that. Secondly, I'm here to save the lost. I'm here to talk to short guys standing up in sycamore trees. I'm here to go to taxpayers' homes. I'm here to travel from village to village. I am here, Luke 19:10, to seek and to save the lost. He said it, I believe him. And I would add one more thing to that. And by the way, if you're looking to build your own value list, you might want to take a look at what's happening behind me right now. The very best value list you probably could build for your entire life would be emulating the will of Jesus Christ, the heart of Christ. So it might be worth hitting the pause button for a second and saying, would you stare at those three things for just a minute? If you were asked to profess what you are about, the reason you're breathing oxygen, and you were made to make an honest 1, 2, 3 list, would any of this make the list? This is the heart of Jesus. Look with me in Mark chapter 10 would be good. Mark the 10th chapter. Mark chapter 10. This is just an example to show that one of the things that were very important to Jesus was blessing his people. Those who became his disciples, he wanted to provide for them, encourage them. A lot of the things that we do in the church as well, Jesus wanted to do. Peter, verse 28 in Mark 10, began saying to him, behold, we've left everything and followed you. Jesus said, Mark 10, 29, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sister or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he will receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, farms, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. Jesus was so great at this. What he wanted to do was bless people. He wanted to say, I will take care of you. I will give you a church family. I will save your soul. So this next thing ought not surprise you too much, but I'll ask you anyway. Does it surprise you? Are you blown away that someone who professed that those were his core values went out and did that stuff? Is anybody, raise your hand if you're shocked. If you absolutely need a retake on this, you can't believe what you're seeing, raise your hand. Of course not. This is obvious to us. If what Jesus said mattered to him actually mattered to him, what we're going to find is that it produces things that are consistent with it. And that's what we read about. I could give you plenty of stories, but we read about a man who sacrificed his life. He sacrificed his health, his safety, his longevity. He sacrificed any amount of pride any man might have, allowing himself to be humiliated on a cross. Why did he do that? In fact, he made it his goal to do it. Who does that? Who says, my goal is to suffer for God? Only people who have already set their core values. It shouldn't surprise you that he went to Matthew's house, to Levi's house, and sat with the tax collectors, or that he had that conversation with the adulterous woman, or that he went to Zacchaeus' house, or that he traveled from village. Of course he did. Naturally he did, because you can't truly separate who you are and what you're out there going for. You can't separate those two things. They're always going to be connected. And the fact that he prayed for his disciples in John 17, and he loved them, and he comforted them, and he made promises to them, it's totally obvious. But what if, I prayed about this to see if the Lord was okay, if I just made some very short-term modifications of this slide, and I think hopefully we'll be okay. What if Jesus said all of that stuff, and yet you started reading the Gospels, this Jesus who said, I live to do the Father's will, I'm here to seek and save the lost and bless people. What if you read the Gospels and you saw that what Jesus really tried to pursue, I mean, he loved all this stuff. I mean, don't get me wrong. But what he really tried to do was live a long life. What he really did was he made choices that never put his life in jeopardy. He didn't want to be beaten. That could affect his health. He didn't want to be exposed by the elements. And he certainly didn't want to be crucified. What if Jesus in his 3 years of ministry targeted political gain and cultural acceptance? What if he garnered the support of the Pharisees? What if he actually did use those two swords and take his place on the throne? What if he did allow others? Did other people try to serve Jesus? Do you guys remember that? Did other people try to worship him and magnify him and serve him? What if he said, you know what? All of this stuff is who I am. Follow me. Stick with me. This is who I am. But yeah, I think this is the stuff I'm going for. What would you think of Jesus then? I'll tell you two things. This is the part I had to pray about. I'll tell you two things. If he said this, but he was doing that, the first thing that I would note is that he must be lying. He would have to be lying, maybe to himself. But the point is, you aren't being honest about your values. What he'd really be saying is, my true value system is, I like earth. I like to be liked. And I like people to do stuff for me. So let's go ahead and just erase all this. Even though you said it, let's erase all that. And let's put over there what really goes over there. Life, eat, drink, and be merry, and support. Two opportunities here. Either he's lying about his values. Or maybe he's just wasting his life. I think Jesus would support that statement. If I had come to earth, Jesus would say, and I knew who I was and why I was here and what my purpose was, and I used my life for this, I would have wasted my life. Frankly, though, I don't think Jesus would have been able to stomach this. Because remember, you can only deviate so long before you want to get back into harmony again. He would lose his stomach for this pretty shortly. And even if he accomplished it and the Pharisees elected him, in the 16th second, Jesus would be like, that was nothing like I thought it was going to be. Because it doesn't align with who he truly and honestly is. Now, you might look at this and say, okay, let's go back to this. This is the reality of it, by the way. What I don't want you to do today is leave and say, okay, I think I understand what he's saying. I need to list my core values, what really matters most, and then I need to set spiritual goals. But does that mean I'm not allowed to set any other kind of goals? If I want to run a marathon this year, or I want to lose a few pounds, or I want to get a better job, or earn a little bit more money, or pay off some debt, or I want to go on vacation and see Utah, like, is he saying you can't have any goals in your life that aren't purely spiritual goals? I'm not saying that at all. Not saying that at all. So let me clarify what we are saying. You know, if you study Jesus' life, what you see behind me is the reality. But you know, if you walked around with him a while, and you really saw him, you know, in between all the sermons, you might find that he had a few other goals as well. He was a carpenter in his youth, and he learned it from his father. If you saw Jesus in between his sermons, working on his carpentry skills and trying to sell rocking chairs, would you be like, I'm out. I'm out. Because you're only supposed to be doing spiritual things. You wouldn't say that.
He may have had other goals as well. I think one of his goals was to get rest. I think Jesus understood the need for rest. I think he understood the need to take care of his own body. Maybe he tried to stay in good shape. Maybe he was someone who wanted to live all the way up through the age of 33, and he wanted you to see that he died because they killed him, not because he killed himself. Maybe those were priorities for him. Can these fit, or do we have to throw them out? They can fit, but you need to understand something very clearly. All of those three things would have only existed in Jesus' life, first of all, underneath the three things that are found above it. Go home today and make a great list of fitness goals and finance goals and fun goals, any other word you want. But number one, don't start there. First of all, what makes 2020 spiritually successful first, and make all three of these fit under all three of those. In fact, did Jesus have to give up being in good shape for the sake of the gospel? He did. He was beaten. And here's the second thing. And I've really been thinking a lot about this. Been thinking a lot about it. These are tangible physical goals. And I teach about those, podcast about those, and all that. But you know what's interesting about all three of those? You should be able to ask the question, Jesus, why are those important to you? And the end game for physical goals ought to be spiritual application. I'm going to say that again. The end game for your physical goals ought to be spiritual application. You want to earn a better living? Earn it. But what are you going to do with the money? Going to buy another car? Going to go on a better vacation? Or do you have some core value things you want to do with that money? Hey, get your cardio in. Lose the weight. Get in better shape. Make you feel better. But what's the end game of that? So that I can go, you know, live on a beach until I'm 80 somewhere? Or is my good health in the end about servicing the things that matter most to me? When we get all of this, spiritual goals and physical, when we get it all working towards who we are as a Christian, now we live a life in harmony. Harmony between our heart and our treasures. Harmony between who we are and what we pursue. So here's what we want to do as we get to the end of this. What about you and what about me? I think this next question, some people in the room are instantly going to know the answer. I did not. I've been working on this the last few weeks. I had to sit and take some time. But first of all, would you be willing to do this at home today? When you leave today, there's going to be some printouts of the slides, and I'll show you in a minute, but you'll pick up this slide, but it'll have blanks in it. You're going to fill in the blank, your own blanks. You get to fill it in. What does matter most to you in this life? Have you even thought about that lately? Like, why am I here? What is my purpose? What makes life worth the living? At the end of it, what would make it worth the while? Who do I love and how much? Could you make a list and order it number one, number two, and number three? I had to think a long time about that. It took me a while. I'll use myself as an example. And I came out with, number one, I want a love-based relationship with God. That was my number one. Not just God, I want a love-based, not terror, not distance, a love-based. Number two, I want peace and joy in my family. I didn't just put family, because sometimes that's no fun. I want peace and joy in my family. That was my second thing. And number three, I want the opportunity to serve and encourage people in Jesus. In that order, by the way, in that order. Now, once you've made that list, here's what comes next. What are the things you are working hard for this year? I mean, we're late January. I mean, all your resolutions are kind of going, and you're laying out your schedule for the year, and you got little dots on the calendar. I mean, you're headed somewhere, and you already have these goals. So what if we don't ask you to come up with goals? We just ask you to write down the ones you already have. My question is there a relationship? My answer is, there is, but you may not like it. You say, well, no, there's not. You know, now that I think about it, the things that I told you mattered most to me have almost nothing in common with what I'm pursuing all week long, and I can't help but think about, well, I think maybe you just have to redo one of your two lists. Now, let me tell you where I am. I'm not willing to redo this list to match this one. Does that make sense to you? I'm not willing to do that. I have to redesign what I'm thinking about, reading about, pursuing, learning about in order to align with that which is right. Now you say, well, can I have some physical stuff? Sure, sure. Do your physical goals though, the stuff you're pursuing, the things about money and entertainment, all that's fine to pursue all that. But in the end, do your physical goals ultimately service the things that matter most? You want to have a healthy retirement? Great. Why? You want to get in better shape? Awesome. Why? I was having a conversation with a brother just this weekend who's trying to give up tobacco. Been fighting the giving up tobacco a really long time. And he would do it for a while and struggle for a while. And his reason was always, well, so I don't get sick later in life. Pretty good reason. The problem is, and I'm kind of filling in the blanks for my brother here, but as I was listening to him tell me that, the problem is you set a goal to give up tobacco so that you wouldn't ultimately feel bad. But if I ask you to list your core values, you feeling okay isn't on the list. You see? They don't work together. He doesn't really care that much about that right now. But let me tell you what he did. He changed it. He changed it to, I'm going to give up tobacco because for years to come, I want to be there for my family. Do you think family was on his core value list? It was. Being there for his family, helping his family serve God, that was high on his value list. So now he's meeting a goal and it never loses its luster and he's got a reason to fight for it because the reward feeds back to his heart and it flourishes all the while. Let me give you a couple of verses to think about as we conclude this. We just need to make sure that your physical goals, first of all, do not come first. Spiritual goals first. And ultimately, they must service the list on the left and not conflict with it. A couple of passages just to end. Let's read this entire context as we get to the end of our study. Matthew chapter 6. Let me read it again. I'm just going to move through a little bit. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24. Remember, we're a people like in the Beatitudes. We've chosen who we're going to be and what we're about. So, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's probably worth me saying to you that this text is not saying you cannot save money. It's what's called the not but construction. And it's saying no matter how much money you think it's important to save, more importantly is that you're preparing for heaven. The interesting part of that is the Bible's very clear that you can use the money to serve your heavenly purpose. Ah, isn't that interesting? Now we take our monetary goals and we use them to serve our true purpose and all of a sudden it flourishes again. Verse 22, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is clear, your whole body's full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Let me tell you about that passage. People say, in my core, I'm all about God. I just want to be a Christian. I just want to be faithful to my church. I just want to raise my kids to know God. That's my core values. But what they got coming through their eyeballs all the time, it's a lot of other stuff. Not Bible reading, not sermons and worship, not spiritual things, a lot of physical stuff that they love and they treasure. And he said, look, whatever you say is going on in here, what you keep feeding in through your eyes will take over your heart. So we've got to be careful with both. He goes on to say, of course, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You must make a choice. The last passage that I would have you consider is Philippians 3. It's very useful in this endeavor. There may be people here. In fact, I'm here, so there are people here. There are definitely people here who have not had this the way it ought to be. Who have either they're fighting against themselves or they haven't been honest with themselves or it's time to just start over. Well, the Apostle Paul said, okay, then do that. Start now and do it. You know, you could read back in verses 7 and following. I know what was in Paul's heart. No question about it. He said, whatever things were gained to me, I don't care.
I'll give up anything, verse 7, as long as I get to know Jesus. That's the core value of the Apostle Paul. It's very similar to Jesus. And he goes on to say this then, if you move down to verse 12. Not that I have already obtained it, or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. Those treasures and goals are still out there. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Forget the past failures. Forget the conflict within you. Let's start now and let's reach for something. We want to help you with that. Let me just say a little bit about this. You guys know we put out these cards in the back, these KPI cards. People say, don't mention that. I don't like it. Fine. Tough. I'll call whatever you want. Doesn't matter. And we meet once a month. Do you know what's written on those three cards? Anybody checked out those three cards? I'm going to blow you away with what's written on those three cards. Are you ready? It's going to amaze you. The demanding, exacting, evil things preachers can dream up. Number one, we want to read our Bibles every day. Number two, we want to invite at least 5 people each month to come and worship God with us. What? And number three, at least 3 times each month, we just want to follow up, get to know, and encourage someone who has visited our assembly. The shame. Now, if you're listening to that going, I don't want to do that stuff. I mean, you may not like the meetings and acronyms and stuff. That's fine. You don't have to come to the meeting. Come to the meeting. You don't have to come to the meeting. We have a meeting tonight. But let me just say, if you're just kind of like, I don't want to do that. I mean, those are the most fundamental spiritual goals any Christian would ever have. It's the most fundamental access to growth in Christianity. Read the Bible, evangelize, encourage people who visit our assemblies. And so what I would say is, if you're like, you know what, I got too much of this going on right now. I got too much of this for that, Chris. I've got too much going on here. I've got too many things that I can somehow connect back to God. I can't do that. What I'm telling you is, it's time to start over. You need to start over. Because one of two things are true. Either the value system is not what you think it is, and the fruits are proving it. Or it's time to produce the fruit that comes from a heart of God. I would say this in the close. I just put this over here on the side for you. I was listening to a podcast this year, of a guy that I follow. His name's Hal Elrod. And very successful guy. Wrote some books that I'd read about the Miracle Morning and all this. And his podcast episode last year was, 2019 was the worst year of my life, by far. And boy, that really caught my attention because so far as I could tell, Hal Elrod had the most advanced, enriching year. He traveled all over the world. He gave amazing speeches. He was getting paid by everybody. He published like his 7th book, this time through an actual publisher. He said it was the worst year of my life. I also knew that he'd had an auto accident when he was 20 and lived through that and was diagnosed with cancer 3 years ago. And I'm thinking, how could this have been worse than that? And maybe you can go back and listen to the episode because time fails us from this year. But he said, you know what I figured out? I figured out that most of the stuff I pursued in 2019, even though I achieved everything I sought out to do, did not in any way align with the core values of who I was. He said, I went and published a book, but it caused me so much anxiety that I didn't get to enjoy time with my family, one of his core values. He said, I had to travel and made money everywhere. But I didn't need that money because my core value was security and I already had that. So it wasn't serving it anymore. And it diminished my health. He's on chemo. He's on his 3rd year of chemo. He said all these things that the world told me were great goals that I met made me miserable one after the other. So he said, I wrote down on a whiteboard my 3 values. And that's what you're going to be asked to do. I'll show it to you. It's going to look kind of like that. It's going to be formatted a little better than that, actually. He said, I wrote down my core values, and for the first time in a long time, I knew myself. That's number one. Number two, I started to look at the goals I'd set, and I realized that if I truly was going to love myself, I had to cut out any pursuits this year that did not align with my value system or service that value system. He said, I canceled a 2 international trips. I canceled my most lucrative yearly convention events. I canceled that book deal. I gave up a lot of stuff because it didn't match. Number 2, he said, I had to love myself. And then he said, for the first time in a really, really long time, for the first time in a really, really long time, I was able to just be me. Just go out and pursue things and know that they feed back. They're fed from the heart and they feed back to the heart. And he said, I felt the stress leave my life. I just felt it go away almost overnight. It's a great story. I'm committed to that. The question today is, if you decided to just be yourself and do the things that were consistent with your heart, would you be a Christian or not? Some people might go the opposite way, but not you and not me. The question for this morning is, as we offer this invitation, who needs to align their choices with their heart? If you have a heart for the Lord and you want to be a Christian, you need to set a goal that connects to that, like becoming a Christian, being baptized into Christ, joining a church and being active. Set the things that matter, and they will never lose their fire, nor their passion, nor your discipline. If you're ready to act in consistency with Jesus, do so now as we stand and sing.